that we have bowed hearts to hear the word with clarity and understanding, dear Jesus, that's just surpassed our human limits, dear Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, and we bless you on today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You like
that? Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Big Mike is back. How you doing, man?
Good.
Good to see you, brother.
Eric's worked out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. That is nice. Okay. We're going to get started here. Just looking at all of your faces. I'm all, I want to say hello, but I didn't get here in enough time to greet everybody. Tell you how much I love you. Zoe. Zoe was on you were on Thursday, huh? In the class on Thursday? Praise God. That was good. Hey, I wish I had the notes for everybody, but I printed them, so I only have one. I want to start off by reading something that's going on, because I don't want you guys to get to have misunderstanding about everything that's going on, okay? When the rain stopped, when it was the flood, how long did it rain for? 40 days. When the rain stopped, was the flood over?
Nope.
Okay, because that's really the message that the Lord is trying to get an understanding to his people. Because it appears like, I walked in the store the other day and had no mask on and nobody said nothing to me. I was
ooh,
are we getting back to norm? No. And so what the Lord wants you to know and to understand is that the flood's not over because people are getting back to doing some of the things they used to do, okay? I drove to the supermarket the other day, and the strip club that I was praising God was closed down, was packed. The whole parking lot just was like, oh God, I now gotta go up the other street, because I'm always afraid somebody's gonna come out of there drunk. Mm-hmm. So I go up the other street to go to the store, but it was nice to be able to take that street.
Amen.
But it, you know, it was packed again. So the world is like, oh great, now we can get back to sinning. You know, Vegas is now open. Everything, we can get back to doing what we were doing before we got scared. You know, it's like 9/11.
Yeah.
Some of you guys are too young to remember 9/11, because Israel wasn't even born in 2006. But after 9/11, when those two planes hit that tower, on Sunday, there were like no seats. Any church.
Nope.
Can you believe that? That scared people to the point where every church was packed. It was like the Easter Sunday, whatever, right? It was like nobody. It was like people were going to separate rooms, watching it on TV.
Yep, yep.
But everybody was so scared that every church was packed.
Yep.
And then a couple of weeks wore off, and then a couple more weeks, then the church got empty again, and then they went back to doing what they normally do, right?
That's true.
So I just want you guys to know that it's not over. I'm going to read this, and the person that published it did not know that this is going out to every state. This is not just in one state. It's a it's called Chapter 2021-8 Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 2006, an act relating to the emergency management amending authority and legislative budget commission to convene to transfer certain funds to emergency preparedness and response funds to be implemented July 1st, 2022. Ordering an individual test to be examined. Ordering an individual to be examined, tested, vaccinated, treated, isolated, or quarantined for communicable disease that may have sufficient morbidity. I always have a problem with that word, or morality, and present a severe danger, and presents a severe danger to the public health. Individuals who are unable or unwilling to be examined, tested, vaccinated, or treated for reasons of health, religion, or conscience may be subjected to isolation or quarantine. Bill to be implemented July 1st, 2022. 2022. So they're getting the funds to make sure that they have the facility to take you to, and making sure that you cannot use religion or your unwillingness to say that you will not take the vaccine. Okay. So I just want you guys to know, like, a flood began in 2020. And the flood leads to tribulation, okay? I want to make sure that you understand that, because there are some people more scared of tribulation than hell. I'm more scared of hell than tribulation. Mm-hmm. But you need to know that the process has begun. What's the process? How to control human beings, okay?
Yep.
That process has begun. And so, I mean, did it not have the code 060606, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want you guys to know the process of the book of Revelation has begun. Don't become involved so in the world that you believe that everything's gonna be okay, they love us again, right? Because the person who created the world, who created every event that is leading up to his conclusion, mm-hmm. is the author of the story, okay?
Yes.
And so be on alert as born again Christians, okay? Now listen to me. I want to apologize to anybody that I have ever spoken to, who has ever come to this church, that only learned Christianity, or churchianity, I'll say.
Ooh, churchianity.
Because if that's all you've learned is how to go to church, I've done you a great disservice, okay? Because going to church is like, I don't want to say it's low on my standard, because my wife would be like, no, you got to tell people to come to church. But my greater concern is that individually that people are growing in Christ. Mm-hmm. That individually when you're at home that your Bible is open. That individually you have a prayer life that you can call your own, mm-hmm. okay? That is my biggest drive and my biggest hope. I don't want to teach people to be good church people. Because good church people do what they want to do when they leave church.
Yep.
You understand? And they don't make their decisions based on Jesus. They make their decisions based on how they feel and their own flesh, right? And so if they feel like getting high, they get high, even though they went to church. They feel like doing anything they want to do, they do it. Now, the Lord hit me with this. I was watching a Whitney Houston documentary, and they used to pray to Jesus. They were showing a documentary before every concert. They would pray and say, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for this concert, and blah, 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 blah. And they would say all these wonderful things, and then they would say, in Jesus' name, then they'd do the concert, and then they would show them partying after. And then they would say it was a lot of drugs there. And so they did what they wanted, but they did the religious thing, mm-hmm. of including Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they have no idea that God doesn't even honor that or respect that, because that is a religious thing you do that doesn't carry over, mm-hmm. into your week or into your lifestyle. You understand?
Amen.
So if I've taught you churchianity, I apologize, because that is a horrible thing to teach somebody how to go to church and not take Jesus home with them, mm-hmm. and actually be a part of their day-to-day lives.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Um, I'm opening my Bible study here today. What the Lord was showing me was the birth pains. All of the birth pains that are in the world, that Christians should be taking notice of birth pains. Like having a vaccine with a code number 060606 should put every Christian on alert, right? Birth pains of, I forget the airport, that if you come back from a country, they believe that that is a dangerous country for disease. They keep you there at the airport. You got to stay there for 10 days, or you can, you know, take your shot and you can go home, or you have to stay there until the 10 days and they test you and do all this, right? And so people are walking around. One guy's walking around. They say they let us out twice a day. I was like, you in prison. You're in prison and you don't even know it. But they have to stay at the hotel at the airport in the hotel. And the guy was outside the gate trying to interview him. Like, why can't you guys leave? We're just trying to find out. And a security guard came over and said, you can't talk to him. You can't talk to people outside the gate. And the guy's like, I'm not in prison. I can talk to anybody I want to. And he says, no, you got to go to the front and get permission. And I was like,
that's prison.
You just came back from a trip somewhere, and now you realize you can't even go directly home because we don't know if you've been. So anyway, that's where you are, okay? Me and Pastor Ben in 2006 were showing all of the concentration camps that they were building.
Yep.
The 600 that the Halliburton company had built and some other ones that they were closing businesses down and
Walmarts.
Yeah, and then and when it got exposed on television that they were actually doing this, because we were talking about we were nuts. Then a guy got a TV show and he showed it, and then he showed that they had 500,000 caskets at each concentration camp, and then all of a sudden people wanted to know, hey, remember what you guys told us in 2006? It's really true.
Yeah, right? Yes.
I wasn't just saying it to say it. You know what I mean? So God was showing me that there are birth pains in the world, and there is a setup to the book of Revelation.
Okay? Yes.
I don't want you to not take serious the fact that you have an escape and it belongs to you and Jesus Christ is in your life and you can be joyful about that and how precious you are to God and how much mercy and grace is covered over your life. I don't want you to miss that because God loved you. But I also don't want you to miss that that is already planned and all of God's plans happen, okay? And so as you see the birth pains, know that it's coming.
Amen.
So I want to take you through the process of this. And the process, okay. So I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 66, please. I really want to explain this to you guys well, because I want you to see. You pretty much know what's about to happen. You know the process, but some people don't. So let's go through this, okay? You in Isaiah chapter 66?
Amen.
Okay. In verse 7, it says this. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Who is the she that she's talking about?
Israel.
The nation of Israel, okay? Why is this talking about the nation of Israel? Because Israel is the mother of the church. The nation of Israel, without Judaism, without the nation of Israel, you don't have the church, because without the Jews and without Israel, you don't have Jesus. Okay, so if there's no Israel, there's no church, because Jesus had to be born into the nation through David, okay? So understand that Israel is the mother of the church. But before she goes into labor, she gives birth. before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Okay? Now, the question after that is, who has ever heard of such a thing? Okay? That's the question. Who has ever heard of such a thing? You guys okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
What did the Joker used to say? He used to say, riddle me this, Batman, right?
Right.
Some of you guys are too young to understand. Say, Joker would go, riddle me this, Batman, and he would give him a riddle that he had to figure it out. And then if he figured out the riddle, he could figure out the crime, then he could catch him, right? So God is giving you a riddle here.
Yeah.
A woman is going to have birth and give birth to a male son before she goes into any labor pains.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gives you the scripture that says, who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? And then it says, can a country be born in a day? So it's asking you now another question. Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? No sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to, and then listen how it says, than she gives birth to her children. So now she's saying, now it's saying, after she goes into labor, after she starts to feel pain, then she gives birth to her children. But who's the child that she already gave birth to?
Church.
But she says, no, but it says now after she goes through labor pains, now she gives birth to her children. So are you understanding what the Bible is trying to tell you? There's a birthing pattern that comes with this, because if you believe in God, you become the sons of God, right? Because God is birthing sons into the kingdom. You understand? He's giving new life to a whole group of people that never had life, right? So God is birthing us, but he's letting you know, one, that there's a birth with no tribulation, and there's a birth through tribulation. You get that? So Israel is going to birth their own children, but it's going to come through tribulation, okay? And you have to know that, because you need to know that if the first child is born, it's before the tribulation. And that's what I want you to make sure you understand. Because going through the tribulation is not your destiny. You understand? You can get saved in it. It's gonna take a lot. And you'll see some things that you've never seen before. And you'll say, I wish I had listened to Pastor Sandy, but you don't have to go through it. And that's what the Lord wants you to know. You don't have to, but you can if you play games with this, okay? And I'm being serious, because some preachers don't want to tell you the truth. You can't play games with this. You understand? This is life. This is a battle. You know, I mean, things are happening.
Amen.
And we need to know, we need to be battling in the spirit, because this is important. Okay?
Amen.
Now, I want us to go to Revelation chapter 12. Now, in Revelation chapter 12 is what you call a dual prophecy. There's two prophecies happening at the same time, okay? So you're gonna see two prophecies. One is about Jesus. The other is about the church, okay? So understand and try to follow, okay? Here it is. A great and wondrous sign appeared in the heavens, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as that she was about to give birth. Then, red dragon. I want to explain that because it says here, she cried out in pain because she was about to give birth to a child. It's talking about right here, it's not just talking about Mary, it's talking about the nation of Israel, okay? The nation of Israel is about to give birth to a child, but there's gonna be a war in heaven. The war that's in heaven happens in the middle of the tribulation. So you're talking about her giving birth to a child, these pains coming upon her, but she's about to give birth to who? Her children. That means the other child that is born has already left because this is the middle of the tribulation. Try to stay with me, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon, 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth to her own children, so that he might be, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, okay, who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. Then it says, her child was raptured up. That's the Greek word it uses. Her child was harbazoed up, caught up, okay, to God and to the throne, and the woman fled in the desert to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days, which is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, okay? So everything fits in this scripture except for one. The child was raptured up. And we know that Jesus, when he left, he ascended up, but he ascended up himself. Harbazo is a specific word that means I grabbed you and I snatched you up, okay? It's to be forcibly taken. So the child in here is speaking of a rapture, but the rest of it is speaking about the third in the middle of the tribulation, and is also speaking about Mary's birth and these things. Okay, so this child is a mystery. That's why it says, has anybody ever heard of such a thing? Has anybody ever seen such a thing? It's riddle me this, Batman. Tell me who the child is that gets harpazoed up, because we know that it's not in the middle of the tribulation, and we know that it happens before the woman goes into pain. So we go back to Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let's go there. You're in Leviticus chapter 12? Okay, I'm teaching you guys this because I haven't got to the Bible study the Lord wants me to give you, but he said teach you this first, and so I'm hoping that you can stay with me. Okay, here is a Levitical law that is written in the scripture. The spirit of the word of God is what?
Prophecy.
Prophecy. That means if I write something in the Old Testament, it's prophesying about something that's coming later. You understand?
Yeah.
So now watch this Levitical law. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. Just as she is unclean during her monthly cycle, then on the 8th day, the child will be circumcised. So now he's prophesying to you that if a Jewish woman gives birth to a male son, for 7 days she will be unclean.
Mm-hmm.
When will she be clean again?
8th day.
After the 7th day. On the 8th day, then this thing will be, then there will be a circumcision. But for the 7 days, she's unclean, okay? Now, if Israel births the church out of the world, And the church is directly linked to Israel. And then the scripture says a year for a day. So now we're saying 7 years of tribulation, Israel is what? Unclean.
Mm-hmm.
So until the tribulation's over, Israel is not clean.
Right.
You understand?
Amen.
So as Israel gives birth to the church, and we're harpazo, meaning we're taken, we're snatched up, we're taken out of the world. Now, once we leave, Israel's unclean.
Amen.
You know why? They just gave birth to a male child. And so for the next 7 years, they're unclean. So the Bible is consistently trying to tell you about this 7 years and what's going on. That's why in Joseph's story, there's 7 years of good and then there's 7 years of famine. Because God wants you to know this is going to be a 7 year thing that's going to happen. This is why in the book of Daniel it says he will make a covenant with the many for 1 week, seven years. But in the middle of the week, he will stop sacrifices and offerings, and then he will sit in the temple and declare himself to be God. But it declares to you that time is going to be 7 years. The woman is unclean. For how long? 7 years. Why? Because she gave birth to a child. So this 7 years is solid. It's solidified in scripture. And everybody needs to know that this is 7 years is not meant for the church.
Right.
So therefore, you have to make sure that you're not here. Okay? And it's up to you. It's not up to your pastor. It's not up to church. It's up to how you are when you leave here.
Amen.
I don't care if you come to church. If you leave here and you go get high and you go sleep with every girl in town and you do whatever you want, it doesn't matter to me that you come to church. And it really doesn't matter to God. God is like, look at him playing church.
Because mm-hmm.
when you come here, he knows it doesn't mean anything once you leave.
That's right.
I'm interested in you not being here. I'm interested in you knowing that it is serious how you conduct yourself when you're not here.
Amen.
This is what the problem with the Israelites was. They did all the religious things, but then as soon as it was over, they went and did what they wanted.
Yeah.
And God said, my people will not be like that.
That's right.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read one more scripture. And I believe that's going to be Jeremiah chapter 30. Yes, yes, yes. You're responsible for telling the truth, Samuel. I'm responsible for telling you the truth. Because I had my message. I'm gonna preach on love this week, God. How much Jesus loves. And he's like, that's not the message I want you to speak. So just wait, I'll give you the message. So I didn't get anything to the point where Drea was like, you're not ready. I haven't seen you do anything. It's like I had a message, but God said no. So now I gotta wait, right? So I'm sitting around the house, and then the Lord is like, you're responsible for truth. You are not responsible to make people feel good. So I have to tell you that this time is coming. And I want you, oh God, like Jesus, I want you to be there at the wedding feast. It would make Jesus so happy to see you there. But if you're not, because Pastor Sandy is like, and his love extends abroad. And you guys are like, that was a wonderful message, Pastor said. And God would slap me. Because God wants you to be ready. And Christians don't take it serious. I know this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take it serious. They think it's, I went to church today. It's like, ooh, you got church. You got heaven credits.
Heaven.
Like God came, showed up, he paid attention. You know what I mean? It's like, no. Here we go. Jeremiah chapter 30, I'm going to start reading at verse 5. I think. Yeah, okay. This is what the Lord says. Cries of fear are heard, terror, not peace. Ask and see, can a man bear children? Can a man, here's another, riddle me this, right?
Uh-huh.
Can a man give birth to children?
No.
Then why do I see every strong man with their hand on their stomach like a woman in labor? Every face turned deathly pale. How awful that day will be. None will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for who? Jacob.
Yeah.
Who is what? Israel. But he will be saved out of it. In that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will break the yoke off their neck and will tear off their bonds, and no longer will the foreigners enslave them. Instead, they will serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Now, if he's talking about Babylon, this is pretty bad, because David has already been king when he's writing this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, I'm going to raise up David as a king for them, but they're going to go through Jacob's trouble, and then I'm going to raise up David as their king. David's already been their king.
Mm-hmm.
So who's the David that he's talking about? Jesus. That is what Luke chapter 1, verse 33, the angel tells Mary. He shall be great. Who? Jesus. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give him the throne of his father, David. Is David Jesus' father? In a way, because he's birthed through the bloodline. But the throne, and David sitting on the throne, is going to be Jesus. Okay? So, Israel's going to go through a tribulation, and God promises, I'm going to save you out of it, though. And then when I save you out of it, I'm going to reestablish David's throne, which Jesus will be the one sitting on. You understand?
Amen.
So they're going to go through trouble. It's going to be Jacob's trouble. It's going to be 7 years. And you don't have to be here. You don't have to. I mean, I was in the middle of this, I tried to throw in a evangelistical, like I can invite people to Christ in this moment. And God said, I have not called you to be an evangelist.
That's right.
I've called you to prepare my people to leave. The message is to my people.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I would love to tell people, hey, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. If you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you can accept him in your heart. He'll give you his spirit. You can be born again, and you won't have to go through tribulation. You'll never see hell. It'll be a beautiful thing for you if you accept Jesus. That would be me evangelizing. God said, I didn't call you to do this. I'm writing this stuff out. I'm getting ready. No, I'm going to talk to my people. Because they don't take it serious. Anybody can be a good Christian at church.
Mm-hmm.
Respectful at church. Say the right things at church. Never curse when I'm in church. Get home and they can't stop you from cursing.
Right.
Right? So everything about you is, on Sunday I'm a saint. It's just the rest of the week don't follow.
Right.
So I have to get that across to you.
Amen.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Oh, my Jesus, how much I love you. All right, are you guys there? I'm praying I'm doing a good job.
You are.
I'm asking, you know, God is like, I'm firm about this, and I'm like, okay, I have to get it right. Okay. In chapter 7 and verse 13, it says, enter through the narrow gate. This is Jesus talking. Rather, your Bible's in red or not, this is part of Jesus. He says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few are saved. Now, there's a problem here. Jesus is not talking to non-believers.
Right.
He's talking to Christians. This message, he's talking to born-again people. Why are you telling us this? We're all saved. I'm talking to you because you need to know that there is a difference between being saved and being in a relationship with God. There's a difference between being a church member and being in a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference.
Yes.
So here's Jesus, and he's talking to Christians, and he's saying, oh, by the way, narrow is the way. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, but small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. All the Christians are going, what's he talking about? Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? The answer is no. Or figs from thistles? No. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Who? He's warning you against false teachers. Okay? So it's not just a matter of you working out your salvation. He's saying, watch who you follow. Watch who you listen to. Watch who you think what they say is true.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it, because your doctrine. Which way is Mexico? South, right? Which way is Texas? East. All I have to do is veer off the course that much, and I'm starting to go south. Do you know that? I don't have to veer that far. I just have to start driving this way. I'm still going east, but I'm going south too. But by the time I end up, it's not where I want to be. So deception is not big. I don't take you off an east course and just turn you and make turn right and make you go. I only want to give you a little bit, just a curve, because I know where you're going to end up. And this is what the Lord is trying to say. Be careful of your doctrine. Be careful of who you listen to. If I'm a pastor and you come in here and I tell you, hey, Drea's not going to be my wife anymore. I'm now marrying the new choir director, and her name is Cecilia. And this happened to me when I was growing up. And I was like, oh, the pastor has a new wife. I should have been like, this snake. I should have been. As a kid, I wasn't like, okay, he can't be faithful to his wife. I should have thought that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I should have seen the fruit, because the Bible is telling me, watch their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't watch what they say, watch what they do. Because nothing good's gonna come off of a bad tree. And so as things were happening in the church, we're thinking, pastor. God is thinking, this guy's a bad tree. All of y'all need to get out of this church. Us to be wise, okay?
Amen.
Be wise about your doctrine. Don't just follow anybody. If you find out I'm a Freemason and you still go to church here, something's wrong with you. Nothing's wrong with me. I'm already on my way to hell.
Right.
Something's wrong with you because you stay.
Amen.
When Eddie Long did that thing, there was nothing wrong with Eddie Long. He was already on his way to hell.
Uh-huh.
There was something wrong with all of the people that stay.
Yeah.
Because that means they're not watching for fruit. They're having church. And as long as church is good, then they're going to stay.
Right.
But I don't want to go to a church and the pastor is a bad tree. I was talking to Drea and she was saying, well, I said, it's a shame because all pastors should be examples.
Amen.
Say, well, people shouldn't look to their pastors. Hey, that's true. But all pastors should be examples. The way I treat my wife should be an example to young men.
Amen.
The way I handle my finances should be an example to young men.
That's right.
Everyone that calls himself a pastor should be a great example of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't follow anybody, okay? Let me finish this. It says, I almost lost my spot. Here we are. Likewise, every tree, I read that part. Okay, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Jesus is talking to Christians. Not every one of you who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. At that time, I raised my hand because I'm like, what do you mean by that, Jesus? Because I'm here at church. What do you mean by that? Everyone who calls me Lord, Lord is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven? Wait a minute. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What is God's will? That you believe on his Son, Jesus Christ. But not a belief like I just believe and then I move on with my life, but that I continuously believe, I'm continuously confessing, I'm continuously faithful, I'm continuously fighting, I'm continuously repenting when I do something wrong because I want to be in a continuous relationship. So it becomes a relationship of continuing with God, okay? So, understand. So it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Yeah, church, you did. And in your name, didn't we not drive out demons? Yeah, you did that at church. I saw you. And perform many miracles in your name. Didn't we do that? Yep, I was there. I saw you do it. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now watch this. In the name of Jesus, you could be doing work, but you have a secret life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You could have, in the name of Jesus, you know what? Someone said to me a long time ago, they said, you know when you watch TV, the Holy Spirit's in you? And God knows everything I watch? It's like, I don't want to know that. Because I wouldn't watch this at church. You know what I mean? So I want you to know that God is with you wherever you're at, okay? And if God don't like it, the Holy Spirit will convict you and expect you to repent and so that you and him can stay in relationship. Okay? So you can't have a secret life. Leave him, don't you? Let him do what he's got to do. He's a good guy. I like him. So understand this. You have to be the person you are at all times. If you're a Christian here, you should be a Christian at home.
Amen.
Why? Because the same, when you said, Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior, guess what? That's what he did.
Yeah.
He came into your life. He lives in you, okay? He lives in you, and when you go, he goes.
Yep.
Do you know that this building is not anointed?
Amen.
It only has the Holy Spirit in it when we're here.
That's right.
Do you know that?
That's right.
When we leave, God goes. So whatever you do when you're not here, it's you and God.
That's right.
You lighten up, God's going to know. God's saying, are we doing this again? Are we inviting demons into our life again?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to fornicate again?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Are you going to start repenting of this? How are you going to get out of this? The Holy Spirit wants to know. Because the Holy Spirit is like, I'm involved in your whole life until I'm trying to get you to heaven. And it's a narrow road. And you got to stay on the narrow road. Because if you get on the broad road, this is the broad road. Once you're saved, you're always saved. So
say
don't
that.
Worry about how you live. That's the broad road, okay? So yeah, I get high, but I love Jesus. Oh, we get ready to give a concert, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're praying. Oh, Bobby Brown's there, and Bobby Brown's like praying. I'm like, what kind of documentary is this? The Lord wanted me to watch it, though. They were trying to portray this as being Christian. There was nothing Christian about that. When that concert was over and they all prayed and they're all on stage and doing their whole thing, and they all prayed to Jesus, and then after they had the parties in the hotels, and then they would say then there was a lot of cocaine there, and they all were partying. But before the concert, in Jesus' name, we thank you for being with us tonight, Lord, and helping the people enjoy themselves. So they were delusional.
Yes.
You know, the delusion, that means mentally something's wrong with you.
Something ain't right.
Okay, you don't know what's really going on.
Mm.
You've gotten to be, you're doing churchianity.
Yep.
Okay? And anybody can do that. Snoop Dogg can give an album and get on stage at the Grammy and say, I want to thank God for giving me the inspiration to do this album. God's like, I ain't had nothing to do with that. So anybody can do that.
Amen.
Let's go to Galatians chapter 6.
10 minutes, Pastor.
Thank you that I have 10 minutes, because I'm running out of material. Because this is my last chapter. I was like, I hope I'm running out, because I don't have nothing after this. All right, you in Galatians chapter 6. I gotta tell you guys this word. I can't remember what it means in Greek, but it's a cold word in Greek. I was trying to hurry up and get here. Okay, now watch this. Galatians chapter 6, I think it's 450. Where's the scripture that says God is not mocked? It must be in verse 7.
Oh, be not deceived.
Is it in verse 7?
Yeah.
Somebody read that for me.
Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Be not deceived, God is not mocked. So when he said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Who is he telling not to be deceived? Who is he telling you don't let him deceive you? He said, don't let you deceive you. God is not mocked. Don't you deceive yourself. God is not mocked. Now, mocked is almost, the Greek interpretation of the word is almost to slip someone something underhanded.
Mm.
You understand? It means like, I'm doing something, but I'm slipping it underhandedly. The word doesn't mean like to make a mockery of you. It means to slip something to someone underhanded so that nobody will see, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the word that God is trying to say. Be not mocked, okay? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. You can't slip something over on him underhandedly. You understand? You may be able to do that with humans, but God, he said it's impossible. God is not mocked. This is a statement of truth. You can't get anything over on him.
Amen.
You have to come to him with honesty. If I ask you the question, do you plan on marrying her? And you say, no, but we can't stop fornicating. Something is wrong with you. Mm. Don't think you're getting over on God.
Right.
Like, yeah, but God knows my heart. You slip God one. I just slip God one. He believes it too. Because the truth is, I just like fornicating. But I don't want to get married. Okay. Then just say that to God.
Right.
Don't try to slip one on. What are you, a pimp? Don't try to slip one in on him. Just tell him the truth. You know what I mean? If that's the way you are, that's the way you are. I just like weed. God, please take it away from me. I said that to God once. I just like weed. God, please take it away from me. And he did. But I wasn't like, well, I would stop, but you know, even Moses in the burning bush. Because I used that one too. Because I used that one too, right? But I wasn't being honest.
Oh,
the
man.
Honest fact was, I liked the way it made me feel. And I didn't care whether I was a Christian or not. Well, God was like, I'm trying to tell you the truth. You're going to get left, and you're going to find yourself in the middle of tribulation, or you're going to die in that situation thinking that you can mock me, and you're going to end up in hell. So I'm trying to tell you, be honest with me and bring it to the altar. Let's pray over it.
Yeah.
Get out your life so we can save you. Or you can continue trying to slip it along. And God's like,
that's good. I like that.
God. Pastor Ben, I tricked God.
Yeah, you did.
He thinks I want to be a Christian. I just want to go to church. He didn't know that.
He didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm. You guys, God, you being brutally honest this morning, I'd like to say.
Amen.
So, let me continue.
3 minutes, Pastor.
3 minutes. I'm going to use my 3 minutes. And I lost my page, but I'm going to use my 3 minutes. Because I didn't see it in my Bible. Was I in the wrong book? Galatians chapter 6. Okay. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up the fight. Someone gave me, an older lady gave me a very important, intelligent, beautiful choice of words. She said, you know, repentance doesn't belong to everybody, only to God's children. A sinner can repent and come to God, but people in the world, they can't ask God for forgiveness because they don't know Jesus. She said, repentance is a gift.
Yes.
Don't give up. Keep repenting. You might make it to heaven. She said, because that's a gift. Once you became born again, God gave you a gift called repentance, which doesn't belong to the world. Imagine somebody's living in the world, they don't know Jesus, and they go, God, forgive me. God, like, I don't know you. Well, I got to forgive you for nothing. I ain't even in relationship with you.
Right.
But his children are in relationship, so one of the gifts he's given us is the ability to say, I repent for that. Please forgive me. And he said, the Bible says he restores you, it's you right back in right balance, and he sits ever before God, right? As a lawyer, right? Pleading your case to God. You know, because I can see Jesus going, Lord, he's trying. You know, because I kept going repenting, like, Lord, he's trying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to stop. And then, Lord, he's trying. You know, I can see, because mm-hmm. I would go back and repent. And then the Lord said, you know, you're not going to stop if you keep going over there.
Ooh, yeah.
But the first thing he said, if you stop buying it, maybe you can stop smoking it. And I went, okay, I won't buy none. And then he said, if you stop going over there, you can stop smoking. Okay. I can't buy none, I can't go there. I'm trying to quit. If you're being honest, you'll stop buying it. If you're being honest, you'll stop going over there. But God wanted me to know, you're trying to slip me one. You know what I mean? Either you're being honest or you're not, right?
Right.
I'm talking real life stuff here, guys. All right, I'm talking real life stuff. Because there's things in your life that you're going to have to die to when you come to Christ. Mm-hmm. And God knows your heart and everything that's in your heart. He knows everything that you have to overcome. And he's not interested in you overcoming all of it on your first day of being a Christian. That means God has to have patience and love and mercy with you, right? Mm-hmm. Or else God would have kicked me out day one.
Right.
Okay? Because at first I had to stop cursing. You know what I mean? Because some words I thought weren't that bad.
That bad.
Me and the Holy Spirit like, no, that's just... Then I start using the letters instead of the words. And I thought,
spelling it out.
Well, if I just say it, the letters, it means I'm not cursing. I'm just saying the letters. Because, you know, your flesh is deceptive.
Amen.
It's evil and it's deceptive. So you're trying to... It's trying to work something out with you. So I'm trying to say the words... I just say the letters, I won't say the words, and then the Holy Spirit like, no, you're still cursing. They don't care if you spell it out. So I had to stop that. Then after I got like a clean mouth and I was better, then God says, let's move on to marijuana.
Ooh.
And I was like, I knew this was gonna happen. You know? And then now it became, okay, now you gotta stop this, because you're inviting demons in your life. So I was like, man, okay. So that was a whole process. Then God says, now you gotta stop getting angry so fast. It's ugly to me. You're worse than non-believers. So now I have to overcome anger. I can't go like burst of rage and beat people up anymore. I only beat them up because it wasn't me. I was minding my own business. Mm. They said something to me. Then I went off, Lord.
My.
You're gonna have to learn to control your anger. And you're gonna have to learn that when people are provoking you, that you have to say, in Jesus' name, God bless you, have a good day. You have to learn this. I'm like, oh my, now I gotta overcome that. So as you can see, I'm trying to just give you an example. As you can see, becoming a Christian, it's not an overnight sensation,
right?
Okay? If you become a perfect Christian overnight, I am scared of you.
Very scared.
I am scared of you because I know it don't work like that. Because I know there's some things in you that God has to purge out, and God wants it out, and he's going to give you the patience and the kindness to do it, but you have to be honest with him.
Yeah.
Don't try to mock God and say, I was going to stop, but... You know what happened, Lord. Okay, listen. The tribulation, the rapture will take everyone who's not lukewarm and has the garment that God gave him, the Holy Spirit, okay, and has oil in his lamp.
Mm-hmm.
Those people will be raptured. Those that are lukewarm will not be raptured, okay? Those who are trying to mock God and trying to slip him one will not be raptured, okay? So that means you're deceiving yourselves, okay? Don't deceive yourselves. Be real with God. God can take honesty, okay? Because I couldn't really stop until I said, I do it because I like to. Okay, let me take that out. Let me take your desire out.
There you go.
But I have to be honest, because before that, I wasn't being honest, you know what I mean? I've never seen somebody overcome alcoholism by hanging out at a liquor store. I've never seen it happen. You can't do it. So sometimes you gotta be honest with God, okay? And so be that way consistently in your life, in everything, whether it's anger, whether it's not treating people right, whether it's somebody you hate and God don't want you hating them, he's trying to get that out of your life. He's trying to get all of these things that are not like God out of your life, because people in heaven don't act like you. That's what God told me. Nobody here acts like you. So you don't really belong here. Because nobody here acts like you. Nobody goes off. You know what I mean? You imagine there's a line in heaven and you got one person going off because it's taking too long. So God, like, I got to teach you patience. It's a process. But you're staying in it because you're staying in your word, and your word is going to keep you growing, keep you being honest, keep you in the relationship, okay? Mm-hmm. So, did I just say you have to be perfect to be a Christian and make it to heaven? No. What did I just say? Stay in relationship, be honest. God bless you.
Amen.